4 podcast.
Vítajte pri podcaste Bratislavského nezávislého kultúrneho centra A4. V pravidelnom mesačnom podcaste sa budeme zaoberať tým, čo máme najradšej, súčasnou kultúrou.
Čakajú nás rozhovory s množstvom zaujímavých umelkyň a umelcov, dramaturgičiek a dramaturgov či iných kultúrnych aktérov a mnoho iného.
V marcovom diele podcastu sme sa rozprávali s riaditeľkou A4 Ninou de Gelder o príprave a nosných myšlienkach semináru Úloha kultúrnych centier ako miest neformálneho vzdelávania, ktorý A4 organizovala.
A s dobrovoľníkom z programu European Solidarity Corps Marcelom Adruelom o jeho novom formáte Out of Context, ktorý prebieha formou streamu v A4 každý druhý piatok a snaží sa mapovať a reflektovať rôzne aspekty súčasnej kultúry a hudby prostredníctvom multidisciplinárneho a YouTubeového DJingu.
V závere podcastu si vypočujeme najzaujímavejšie časti prednášok z kultúrnych centier Diera do sveta v Liptovskom Mikuláši a zo stanice Záriečie v Žiline zo semináru v angličtine.
Zvuková zložka vychádza z koncertu Erika Pánčiho, ktorý sa formou streamu udial v A4 25. marca, za čo mu ďakujeme.
Tak moje meno je Nina de Gelder, som riaditeľka A4, priestoru súčasnej kultúry. A dnes sa budeme rozprávať o seminári, ktorý A4 pripravovala od približne októbra 2020 a organizovali sme ho v dňoch 25. a 26. marca. A jeho témou bolo úloha kultúrnych centier ako miest neformálneho vzdelávania. Tento seminár je súčasťou projektu, na ktorom sa A4 zúčastňuje. Vlastne ten projekt začal v septembri minulého roka a je podporený v programom Erasmus+. Spolu s ďalšími 8 kultúrnymi centrami v Európe. Ideou toho projektu je posilňovať ľudí, ktorí pracujú na poli kultúry a vzdelávania, aby si vymieňali dobrú prax. A vlastne tento projekt je koordinovaný celoeurópskou sieťou kultúrnych centier TransEurope Hall a je súčasťou tzv. Edukačnej platformy TransEurope Hall. Tento seminár, ktorý trval vlastne necelé 2 dní, priviedol na jedno miesto do A4 ľudí skutočne z celej Európy a mali možnosť si aj vypočuť prezentácie odborníkov na rôzne témy, ale aj si ich prediskutovať v breakout sessions, takže aj vlastne z už spätnej väzby, ktorú sme dostali, to malo veľký úspech a každý si tam našiel niečo, čo možno ho inšpiruje do praxe, či už svojho kultúrneho centra, v ktorom pracuje, alebo svojej praxe ako profesionála, ktorý aj vzdeláva, alebo umelca, ktorý sa venuje aj vzdelávaniu. My sme tým seminárom naozaj chceli priniesť také praktické skúsenosti. Preto sme aj naozaj starostlivo vyberali tých speakerov, či už z rôznych, ako geograficky z rôznych končín Európy, ale aj aby boli tie prezentácie rôznorodé, ale hlavne chceli sme naozaj priniesť praktické príklady, či už ako niečo niekde dobre funguje, alebo vybrať prípadové štúdie, ktoré nám môžu dať takú potravu na rozmýšľanie, že možno sa zamysliť nad tým, že toto by bolo zaujímavé, aby sme robili aj u nás, možno iným spôsobom alebo v nejakej modifikovanej podobe, ale chceli sme skutočne priniesť tú dobrú prax, prípadne v tých diskusných častiach hovoriť o tom, že čo nefunguje. a určite je priestor aj na ďalšie zdieľanie skúseností. A myslím si, že toto je niečo, čo nás môže veľmi posilniť, práve takéto stretnutia, či už formou menších diskusí, alebo seminárov, alebo konferencií, ale aby sa ľudia, ktorí majú jeden cieľ, spojili a rozprávali sa o tom, toto nám funguje, toto nám nefunguje, myslíme si, že toto by ste mali vyskúšať, alebo chceli by sme sa vami inšpirovať, ako by ste nám s tým vedeli poradiť. Myslím si, že tam je potenciálne veľká sila, keď sa budeme rozprávať a zdieľať si informácie a môže nás to iba posilniť.
My name is Marcelo Maderuelo, and I'm a volunteer here in A4 since September 2020. I'm a sound technician here, and basically we're doing this interview because I'm organizing this series of events called Out of Context. Out of Context is a series of streams and DJ music performance streams or music related content, and the idea basically came one day that I was supposed to be working here in A4. I really had nothing to do and I was just like playing music through YouTube, and one of the technicians and production manager were like just joking about the fact that I should be doing this more often, or like it would be fun to have some kind of a DJ thing. And this happened before the Christmas break, and when I went back to Spain I was obliged to quarantine because one of my friends got tested positive, and I just started streaming through Twitch, just really random stuff, and like just playing music out of YouTube, having multiple windows open, and just having fun with a couple of friends. But I also thought that it could be done this way, or like I would like to profit from the A4 space or infrastructure to kind of do something like this, because the results were turning out like kind of fun. Yeah, that was basically it. It's just also some way of approaching DJing or like playing music for someone else or sharing music without like the burden or like without being constrained by actually like knowing how to DJ or like being really technical about the whole thing, and just a more like simple approach for like people that maybe don't know how to DJ or are not experiencing this thing, to be able to share their music. There's been two streams already. First one was DJ Conquistador, which was this AKA I made up. And then the second one was Monstrancia, with a display of like a Britney Spears conspiracy playlist. And then like we're going to have on April 2nd the Frosted Bird recipe, which is going to be done by Cipher, which is like a local artist. And then there's going to be another one on April 16th, which is going to be a Fadicore Syndicate, which is going to be more like DJ oriented and like club music oriented. I think it's kind of a shame that it's only like reduced to music, and I would like to like expand it a little more, because like I had really good experience messing with the Twitch chat and like having like people sending me feedback or like music to play or visuals to play. But then at the same time, it's not, I wouldn't like to apply my way of DJing to everyone that plays here. Each one brings their own concept and their own way of doing things, and I think that's one of the best things about it. I think it was a really good opportunity for people that maybe they wouldn't have this space before to like come here and just like talk about whatever they want to talk, or just like have some kind of experience with performing. I'm just also glad that through the brief period of time that I'm here in Bratislava, I've met all sorts of interesting people, and also really different people, and people that have different connections to art and music. And also at the same time, one of the things I've noticed is that all of these different people, or like different niche communities are really connected, and like no one is like pushed out somehow. I don't know it that well, but from where I come from, which is Madrid, which is, it's of course a bigger city, and maybe that explains it. But at the same time, I feel that these like little communities of people that are each one into their own thing are really not connected with each other. I just, when I started thinking about doing something like this, I kind of was at a friend's house, and they were DJing, and they were really focused on the DJing and trying to be really technical and really DJing. But then at the same time, they were sitting in like a gamer chair with gamer keyboard and like all this kind of a home ambience and like stream ambience. Just, it wasn't a stream, but like just by the lights and everything, it looked like that. So I kind of wanted to like level the this distance that you feel when you're like watching someone perform, and there's this like performing audience kind of a difference. And I think one of the good things about streaming and this whole situation, which everyone's tired of, and like everyone's streaming, like Twitch is like overpopulated right now, I guess. But then at the same time, I think one of the great things about it is that you have like direct interaction with the performer, and actually the performer has to be aware of what's going on with the audience. And I think that's something like really nice that to take from this whole situation. I wouldn't call it creation though. I think it's just I made a bunch of friends, and I need to program something, so I'm calling out for these different friends. And the openness and like of the format allows it to be something that can maybe be interesting.
Diera do Sveta is a cultural center based in small city Liptovský Mikuláš in the north of Slovakia, and founded in 2014.
We defined five key pillars of the ideal cultural center. First, it is a socially responsible art institution. Here we believe that the program must critically reflect on the ongoing contemporary crisis. And primarily, it should explain this crisis and do its best to removing its negative consequences or mitigating them. Then our institution in a specific context, that's the second point. We are a small institution in a small town with 30,000 inhabitants. It has like very little art infrastructure, and it has no university. And even though at the beginning we felt that we felt kind of like marginal and useless and so on, but then later we realized that it gives us better position towards our audience. We can understand each other deeper, and we can learn better from each other. Third, it is an art institution with its own identity. We believe that institutions should reflect ideas and values that its members or its collective uphold or endorse. So we decided to write a manifesto which claims these values, and namely it is ecology, gender equality, anti-fascism, anti-capitalism, non-hierarchy, and egalitarian model of social organization. And we are also following principles which are coined in the Codex of Feminist Institution. Fourth point is interdisciplinary art institution. That means that even though we are an art institution, we do not think that art should operate isolated from other fields. So we always try to connect all the art events with other fields and other disciplines. And we have a series of events on a monthly basis dedicated to mental health, science and technology, ecology, history, politics, and so on. And lastly, it is a politically engaged art institution. That means that we are not affiliated with any particular political institution or political party, but we are politically engaged in the sense that we want to shape the political realm we are part of, and we want to shape it according to our manifested ideas. Yeah. So, in this relation to our audience, the process of mutual learning is very important, because we do not consider ourselves as kind of messiahs of the knowledge. So we always discuss on a daily basis everything we do. We question every little thing that goes out on public. We have arguments for others, and we always reshape and change every event, every content that goes out. And here in this process, the crucial thing is how our audience understand the content we offer them, and their understanding can tell us better the way how we should communicate these issues. And for instance, we had this protest for reproductive rights, and we had a banner stating end to patriarchy and end to capitalism. And after the protest, the banner was questioned, and the question was raised that how come capitalism is connected to patriarchy. And even though when we did this banner, we thought that it is well known that capitalism as a process or a system of oppression is connected to patriarchy and determines it, we realized that it is not so common for our audience. So we have to firstly explain what capitalism is, what patriarchy is, and how connected they are, and then we can do this kind of banners. If we count all every single member of the audience and compare it with the audience from other centers, I wouldn't say there is such a big difference. So maybe it's I don't know. When I started working here, I sometimes felt I didn't feel motivated because of the few people coming for the events. But then I realized that even though when I lived in a different town, there were also very few people visiting the events. So I realized that it's not the problem of the cities. It's a larger problem of people's interest in cultural and art events. And we should kind of try to reshape them so they are more attractive, but at the same time, we do not resignate on the mission we kind of envisioned.
We operate these two cultural centers. As you see, on the right side, on my head, there's former railway station. And on the left side, on Simka's head, on the picture, there's Nova Synagoga, which is former synagogue. This will be our presentation about unexpected education opportunities by the pandemic. The pandemic caught the two of us in the situation of the common fascination by these drawings. These are examples of drawings of 20th century Inuit artist Pizzolak. And then while we were creating the distant forms and content of education to replace these live ateliers and live programs for the public. These pictures shine on us and show us the positive, focused and radiant aspect of isolation. So we've got a lot of inspiration out of it, and we wanted to share it. Let our friends know about it, and also to say hello and ask them how they are, how they struggle with the new situation. And because we are too shy, the two of us, to make some shows or videos, we decided to write in the form of letter. And this is the way this first letter came into being. It has this simple PDF format, and we send it via email to parents of kids we communicate with, and post it to our web page and social networks, and it was really free source. And we waited for their reaction, and kids and parents immediately started to send us pictures. Some of them were, same as us, fascinated by Pitsalak way of life, the Inuit culture, which is so different to what we can live in 21st century, and how can, for example, somebody grow 17 kids in one igloo, or having tattoos even on the face. And some of the reactions were commented the new situation by drawing. Many of drawings show us details of their homes, not only on drawings, but on pictures, on photos, where they cook, eat, play, watch TV, or learn to school and sleep. And on some pictures, we saw their balconies and ateliers and other planners. And we were happy with them when they managed to bake bread. This one is one-eye blinking bread. And we received maybe up to 30 very different reactions on our first letter. And it was very encouraging and also very formative and inspirational for designing our next issues. Generally, at the beginning, all our letters were mainly designed to say hello and activate people at quarantine with some accessible art activities. And it was really easy to follow our instructions to make some play on art and send us the results. This is April issue, which was about growing grass. And this was one of May issues, which was about building nests.
Now I will talk about the second format that arose from pandemic, the one-to-one guided visits in synagogue, a format that came out of corona restrictions during last fall in Slovakia, when it was allowed to meet in a group up to only 6 people. There was no aim to replace the typical commented tour led by artists and curators we also organized before corona. This format was more like to have a gallery friend who accompanies the visitor on the way to his own interpretations, relation to the exhibition. It was about following his own trajectory. As you can see, there was no age limit. One of the best qualities was that I could react individually to each visitor or group. Main impulse was to react to what the visitor brings in the dialogue with me and the particular exhibition. I saw it as a very open situation. There was also a switch in our target group from school groups to families and adults individuals. Each visit was different and it could vary. Sometimes it was me giving information, other times it was more like a dialogue with the visitor. And it also happened once that it was me who was listening mostly to one of the visitors who had a strong need to communicate in person after a longer time. Sometimes visitors interpreted the exhibition verbally, other times they also did creative activities with the materials. Now I would like to compare this new format with the typical commented tours led by artists or creators, which we also provided before COVID. Here you can see artists and a creator on the left side and the visitors on the right side. Those two groups are a little bit separated. Visitors were listening, but mostly didn't react, ask or express themselves. It was in a way expected who brings the content and who is passive. What happened in this new format was that this line between those who know and those who listen blurs and situation is more balanced. It was a huge difference. Adults felt comfortable enough to express themselves in a situation when they were with their family, friends, or just by themselves. It was this quality of adult visitors' experience we wanted to get to also before in a different format, but didn't succeed this much until now, when it happened quite unexpectedly.
Podcast vzniká v rámci projektu medzinárodnej spolupráce Reimagine Europe, spolufinancovaného z programu EU Kreatívna Európa a z verejných zdrojov Fondu na podporu umenia.